Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I am a working class guy. I have experienced and enjoyed success, at least a moderate amount of success, in most everything that I've ever really invested in and wanted to do. I'm proud of the achievements that I've made, of my accomplishments, of just the life that I've lived. And there are a countless number of people that are far more successful than I am, and there are a countless number of people that are not as successful as I am. So I guess that's the framing. But I've never ever thought that's not fair. This isn't fair. When I look at the people that are more successful than me, again, many, many, many countless people, I don't look at that and say, well, that's just not fair. They're more successful because of inequality or a lack of fairness. Now, you can look at me and say, well, you know, it's because you're X, Y, and Z, and that's the reason you have the perspective that you have. That's not really relevant to me. What you think about me is irrelevant to me. And I am a person who I look inward and I say, what could I do differently? Because while I've enjoyed success, it's never been a straight line. It's not some boulevard of uninterrupted green lights. It's not a straight line river. It is a meandering path of success, the way that all things, most things naturally occur. Not too many straight lines in nature, not too many straight lines in success. I was thinking about wisdom the other day, and wisdom is so important, going to be more important than ever before. And so much of where wisdom comes from is from learned experiences and failures, and then the examination of what could be done differently. How did I screw this up? How could I get better and enjoy more of whatever it is that I want, more success, more whatever. But I certainly never said, that's not fair. This is not fair. Fair, fair, fair. I find that word to be stupid. I certainly have a sense of unfairness. Like if I'm competing against somebody and they cheat, then that's not fair. You won because you cheated, that's not fair. So, what's the point of all of this? Well, the Washington State governor, his name is Bob Ferguson, the state of Washington just passed a millionaire's tax. And Bob, in the statement, whether it was a statement or he just X'd it out, tweeted it out, he said, it represents historic progress in rebalancing our unfair system. Historic progress in rebalancing our unfair system. So, I mean, triggering things, I find that to be so triggering. And that it's word fair, we just constantly hear it today. Politicians love it. Activists love it. People don't seem to want to or be able to argue against it. Everyone should pay their fair share, your fair share, fair economy. This policy is going to make things more fair. I guess to the untrained ear, that sounds noble and maybe moral, kind of obvious. Oh wow, yeah. If there's an unfair system at work that we're being oppressed by or we're having to live under, we need to take action and restore fairness. But if you pump the brakes for just a second, you realize that nobody's really defining what that means. Because the moment you start to define it, that's when you discover that people mean very different things when using the word. And that's when this plot thickens. Because you think about, was fairness, was that part of the reason for the founding or the creation of our American experiment? Let's think back and look at those founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Federalist Papers. You know what's missing? Not a lot of talk about fairness. They were spending more time thinking about and talking about things like liberty, self-government, property, representation. The complaint that sparked the revolution was not taxes are unfair. It was that taxes without representation are illegitimate. And that's very different. Very different. Our founders believed life would produce unequal outcomes because that's how life works. They knew that some people would succeed more than others, as many people have succeeded more than me. They knew that some people would accumulate massive wealth and that some people would not at all. But as long as the rules were the same, the system was just. Fairness meant fair play, not equal results. Think about a race. Two runners line up. The starting gun goes off. They start running. One wins, one loses. The outcome, not equal, but the rules were the same. Therefore, the race was fair. Right? That idea dominated Western thinking for a really long time, like centuries. And then something changed. In the late 1800s, early 1900s, the world industrialized. We created factories and railroads and oil and started manufacturing steel. And what happened was, well, some people started those companies, started those industries, and fortunes, like never before, suddenly appeared. And with that became inequality. Cities filled with workers, factories were filled with laborers, and things began to slowly shift. So people started asking a different question, not were the rules fair, but were the results or are the results fair? And that subtle shift, that really changed everything. One of the most influential thinkers in this idea of fairness and the way that we're talking about fairness today was a guy named John Rawls. And he wrote this book called A Theory of Justice, arguing that a society should be judged by how its system affects the least advantaged members. Put that another way, inequality is not acceptable. It is not an acceptable thing, but it can be only if it improves the lives of those at the bottom. Okay? Inequality is not acceptable unless it improves the lives of those at the bottom. So that really reshaped a lot of our modern political thinking. It introduced this concept that fairness probably is going to require some form of redistribution, that the system might need to move resources around just a little bit in order to remain just. And many policy arguments that you see today are built on that idea. But there was also another argument that not everybody agreed upon. Friedrich Hayek said, asking whether market outcomes are fair is like asking whether the weather is fair. Because a market isn't designed. It's not engineered. They are emergent systems. Millions of people making millions of decisions all at the same time. There's not one person sitting in a control room assigning outcomes, even though it feels like or it seems like a lot of the people advocating for redistribution of wealth, that they believe that that's the case.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
So, asking whether outcomes are fair really doesn't make any sense. To Hayek, fairness belonged to the rules, not the results. Going back to that race, were the conditions the same? Were the rules the same? Then it's fair. It has nothing to do with who won the race. Who won the race, that was determined by the faster person. Crazy. Shocking. But that's not even the most interesting idea, because there are certainly deeper things at work here, and really nobody's really talking about it. And that's the idea of envy. Nietzsche referred to this as resentment. Resentment. It's a good term. He believed that many moral systems are born from resentment, from people who feel powerless, people who can't achieve something themselves. So they redefine success as, wait for it, immoral. He also believed that resentment often disguises itself as virtue, not always, but sometimes it does. And this creates one of the most uncomfortable questions. When we talk about fairness, are we talking about justice or are we talking about envy? Because those two things look pretty similar, but they come from different places. Long before Rawls and Nietzsche was Aristotle, and he drew a similar distinction. He wrote that human beings experience two different emotions when they see someone else succeed. One is admiration, and the other is envy. Admiration says, if that person achieves something great, maybe I can too. Envy says, if I cannot have it, neither should they. Oof. These two impulses shape entire societies, and they produce very different cultures. One culture celebrates achievement, the other punishes achievement. So, you see the problem there? That's where the word fairness becomes pretty tricky, because fairness can mean three very different things. First, fairness can mean equal rules. Everyone plays the same game. That seems reasonable. The second is that fairness can mean equal opportunity. Everybody gets a real chance to compete. That sounds pretty good too. The third, fairness can also mean equal outcomes. Everybody ends up with roughly the same result. Do they sound similar to you? They might, but they lead to completely different places and completely different systems. Political debate today are often really debates about which version we're talking about. Now, I possess a high level of personal agency. And I recognize that not everybody does. But there are people out there who believe the purpose of society is to maximize agency, to allow individuals to build, create, to take risks, to fall on their face, to get back up, and to eventually find success. Then there's other people who believe the purpose of society is to protect people from those harsh outcomes. Compassionate, yeah, but obviously at odds. Because the more you protect people from outcomes, the more you limit risk, and the more risk you limit, the more you limit innovation. And this is a tension that has existed in most every civilization, and it probably always will. But there's also this really interesting pattern, is that when societies are poor, politics focus on production. How do we build? How do we grow? How do we survive? How do we create those conditions for human beings to flourish and thrive? But what happens once we do that? Once we pull it off through that whole risk, hard work, agency, danger, what happens then? Well, then our politics are going to shift towards something else. Distribution. Who gets what? Who deserves what? What's fair? I guess in a lot of ways, it's a sign of success, because when survival is no longer the biggest issue, we start debating over how the rewards should be divvied up. So I think that the real question is not what is fair. The real question is, what kind of society encourages people to become their best selves? And you probably already know where I come down on this. I believe that it's a society that celebrates agency, responsibility, contribution, achievement, and also compassion. Because the truth is, every functioning society requires both. We need builders, those entrepreneurs, those risk takers who are going to get out there and make it happen. And then there's the caretakers, there's the innovators, there's the stabilizers. The healthiest societies never forget one of the most important things. Wealth must be created before it can be distributed. And human potential must be activated before it can be shared. There's so much irony in all of this, because the greatest improvements in human living standards have been things like longer lifespan, clean water, modern medicine, electricity, and technology. And none of those things came from committees of people debating fairness. They came from people building things and innovating and risking and solving problems. And then everybody else benefited from that work and from those solutions. So the question is not, how do we divide the pie, but how do we create more bakers? Because the more bakers we have, the more pie everybody gets. And that might be the most fair outcome out of all of it. Fairness. Fairness. Ha! How about this? How about you do your part by doing your best?
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.